you know, I never saw so many people in close proximity in all my life. It was just amazing, the miles and miles and miles of 50 and 60 story buildings everywhere you looked, and massive amounts of cars, bicycles, motorcycles in the larger cities. Now, you know, considerably different out in the countryside, but it was just amazing the amount of people that were there. We motored by bus across to a couple of different cities, did a couple of 3 and 4 hour bus rides, which I wish I had the bus concession in China. There's buses everywhere.
Well, tell me, Ron, what did you learn?
One thing I learned is that I sure do love this country, and I'm certainly glad to live in Arkansas. China, to me, and I've traveled a lot in the world. I've been down the Caribbean. I've been to Cuba, been to Haiti, some of the former Soviet republics, been in Europe a little bit. I've never been anywhere, Southeast Asia. I've never been anywhere in the world that I have seen such extremes of wealth now and extremes of poverty. We stayed, in five-star, six-star hotels, chrome and glass, beautiful, you know, edifices with Aston Martins and Bentleys and what have you outside, and extremely rich Chinese. You looked people dressing like they were in Paris. And very close to this, you know, just a little ways down the street, literally extreme poverty with people hawking and selling things on the street, living in basically, you know, small hovels, rundown little buildings. Everything very much next to each other. The extremes between poverty and wealth were probably bigger than anywhere I've ever seen on Earth. To me, China appears to be paying a real price for all this massive, success we read about. During some of our 4 and 5 hour bus trips, we passed areas out in the country. We're on brand new interstates, you know, 4 lanes each way, out into the middle of nowhere, but brand new highways with pollution like I've never seen on both sides. Nasty, dirty rivers, lakes, the ponds all seem fouled, and every 10, 15 miles, you know, you've got a gigantic plant that seemed to be belching out some sort of smoke, I'm assuming producing electricity. Massive power lines running literally everywhere. Literally torn down and abandoned small cities. And 2 miles down the road, you'd have a quad of 25 or 30, 50-story buildings with factories actually ringing these buildings. Well, some of those, too, you'd see were vacant. And we asked our guide what that was. And he said, well, they weren't manufacturing things there anymore, so the government just basically picks the entire community up and moves you somewhere else. So they had, it's been on television a little bit about the ghost cities in China. And that's what these were. It was completely abandoned, brand new cities because the economy had changed, so they moved people somewhere else. It was just amazing.
Well, we hear so much about the competition from China and how America has to change to compete with this emerging superpower. What's your takeaway from where America stands versus where China is? Are we as competitive with China as we need to be?
Well, I don't know that we can be on the level that they're at. I mean, you've got sweatshops there producing massive amounts of things. China's tariff situation, for example, everybody loves Buicks and Cadillacs in China, but a Cadillac is going to cost you $200,000, $250,000 in China. There's a lot of inequity in the way their government, of course, treats us, and, you know, they own all our debt or a lot of our debt. I guess I came back almost not as worried about worried about the way things are going. We're going to have to do something else, though. We can't compete with that many people, with that much manufacturing of you know, smaller things. We're going to have to literally figure out, I think, how to do something else. It's disconcerting, but I'm not so sure China's not going to collapse at some point under its own weight. As I said, the price they're paying for progress over there in the, I guess we were there 10 days and maybe saw the, you know, a really clear day like we have almost every day here in Little Rock that it's not raining. We only had really nice clear days, maybe 6.5, or maybe 3.5 days. We had 6 days of what I thought was smog and kind of foggy conditions. Beijing was kind of blue-gray. Down in Shanghai, things appeared to be a little yellow sometimes with the air. It just wasn't a pretty place environmentally. They revere their history, beautiful things, you know, beautiful temples. And it's interesting to be in the markets, you know, Mao Zedong and the Chinese leadership of old. They're kind of cult figures now. You see some of the young people still wearing a Chairman Mao suit and everybody else has changed. Or you see a silk jacket with a young person that's got a burr haircut, but he's got Chairman Mao's picture on the back, you know. And they sold the little red books. It's a very unique, interesting country.
And what is that saying they attribute to Chairman Mao?
I know what you're talking about. We had some we had two different guides, and they were both guys in their 30s, one maybe 40. Very interesting people. Obviously, worked for travel agencies that worked for the government. The government, literally, if you're in China, you're doing business with a communist government. I never saw a hammer and a sickle while I was there. I think maybe I saw one. But it's changed. They've got capitalism down to an art. Our guide made a funny remark. He said, it was Chairman Mao, who is revered like George Washington, Chairman Mao made us free. And many of you remember Deng Xiaoping, and I'm sort of a history student. He was the one that worked with Kissinger and Carter, Kissinger and later Nixon and what have you, to open up China to the West. They say, well, Mao made us free, but Deng Xiaoping made us rich. And they're serious about it. You know, everywhere we got off a bus, somebody was trying to sell us a knockoff Rolex watch or a knockoff Gucci bag or something. I mean, you know, you'd have, our guide called them mosquitoes. You'd have 20 or 30 people descend on you sometimes when you got off the bus. And they took us to all of these state-owned stores for what they called shopping opportunities. So they've got capitalism down to a science. And you know, Roby, I think what I saw going on in the background is they are so happy with where they're at. Probably people from their 30s on up that, you know, that do remember something of the culture, or 30 on back, that do remember something of the Cultural Revolution and the way that country was structured, the freedoms that they have now, that we wouldn't feel very free, but they do. And I think they're appreciative. Our guide did say a couple of things that I thought was pretty interesting at times. He said, well, you know, we don't, Mr. Fuller, we don't fear America. We want to be friends with America. He said, there is one thing that we're worried about. And I said, well, what's that? And he said, you know, there are so many McDonald's over here. We're worried about them making our children fat. He said, the kids don't want to eat rice and beans anymore. They want to eat, they want to eat McDonald's and go to Starbucks. And there is a Starbucks on every corner.